All right, hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. We looked at this 2 weeks ago, but I want you, this is where Jesus is giving the parable of the sower, and he says the sower sows the word, right? So I'm not going to go into all of it, but I do want to look at verse 14 because I want you to see this from the very beginning so you don't allow this to happen to you. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad you're with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. All right. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 says this. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. Right? Then it goes on in 15. And the seed that fell upon the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. And that's what the enemy wants to do. So as you're hearing this word, I'm telling you in advance. See, if it's in advance, then you shouldn't be too surprised when the enemy starts trying to do stuff, right? But I'm telling you in advance that as we go through this relentless faith series, the enemy's going to try to knock you off this. He's going to try to show you, see, that's not real. No, that you, it doesn't work for you. It'll work for him or it'll work for somebody else, but it won't work for you. All of those are lies. So I'm telling you up front, you need to cast them down and say, devil, you're a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. I believe the word of God. I take on the same spirit that Paul had when he said, I believe God that it will be just as you told me in your word. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. Come on, we're a church of believers. Hallelujah. All right. So he says here that the farmer sows a seed, but he says immediately a guy that we sow the word, but immediately the enemy comes to steal the word out of the hearts of those who have heard it. So I want to give you that caution. All right. Go on with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading that out of the New King James. But before, as you go there, I want to remind you of a quote that Pastor Hagen said, the son of Kenneth Hagen. He's the pastor of Rhema Bible Church now. And he said it when we were back there. And he said it for years. He says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's time to get excited up in this place. Hallelujah. Because we cannot be defeated. And if we live with that attitude, I cannot be defeated and I'm not going to quit. What does that mean? That means the devil is in for a massive migraine headache because we're going to be that headache to him. Because he wants us to be defeated. He wants us to take on this defeated mentality. He wants us to take on this, well, it's just not working for me, so I guess I'll just quit. I guess I'll just give up. I'm just not good enough for Christian. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough this. I don't think enough about that. No, say, you're a lying devil from hell, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody's got to help me preach this thing. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Watch this verse. In verse 23, New King James, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Did you know that the Christian faith, they actually refer to it as the Great Confession? It should not surprise you that we talk about the power of your words. See, you teach things like that, and some people are like, well, man, I know he says that, but I don't think it's really all that. Well, then you're never going to walk in victory. If you don't get your words under control, you are not going to walk in victory. You can't go around, Pastor, would you pray for me? And then as soon as I pray for you, I release healing power into your life. And then you go out and start talking about how sick you are, how broke you are, how busted, how disgusted, and all this kind of stuff. You can't go talking negativity when we just prayed a prayer of faith, hallelujah. Because what happens is you completely negate everything that we just prayed. David said this, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me. Why? Because he knows the enemy's right there, ready to take that negative word that you spoke and bring it to pass in your life. David's like, I'm not giving him no material. See, we need to have that attitude. No, I ain't giving him no material. I believe therefore I speak. Amen. Glory to God. So let's keep going here. He said, let us hold fast. Hold fast means hang on. It means like the tenacity of a bulldog, man. I mean, you get a bulldog on the end of a rope and he wants that rope bad enough, he will hold on and you're swinging him up off of the ground and he ain't letting go. We need to have, that's what relentless faith looks like. In other words, when you're believing God for something, you've asked him for something, you've asked him to do something, you're believing God, you're declaring that it's happening, and then even though it doesn't happen that day, or it doesn't happen that week, or it doesn't happen that month, or it may not happen that year, you're saying, you lying devil from hell? No, I believe God, it's going to happen, hallelujah. And you don't go around, oh, I'm just hanging on, Pastor. No, you're not. You're starting to slip. You're starting to let go. When you start having that mentality, you start having that attitude, oh, Pastor, I'm believing, but. When you just said, I'm believing, but, that let me know you're slipping. Your grip on faith is being released. Because you don't go, I believe, but. How many know buts can be nasty things? It can cause you a lot of problems. We got to get that but out of the way. Where you need to be using the word but is when the enemy says, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put a sickness upon you. I'm going to put you in poverty. You need to go, but God, hallelujah. But God, hallelujah. The devil is a liar. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. If you're declaring the word of God, declare it with a smile, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you feel like, no matter what it seems like, you declare it with a smile because my God is faithful. He will come through for me. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're in covenant with him. We're in covenant with him. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to look at verse 22, but I want to look at that in the Amplified Classic Version. Backing up to verse 22 in the Amplified, it says, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance. Unqualified. You know what unqualified assurance is? I'm assured of it. I can't even tell you why I'm assured of it. I just know that God's going to come through. I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but I can tell you it is going to happen. So he says here, he says, where am I at? Okay, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction, which is engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. Amen? Glory to God. I'm preaching myself happy. Having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water. Glory to God. But you still got people. You read scriptures like this, you preach messages like this, and you still got people going, yeah, I know you say that, but I remember so-and-so said they were standing in faith, and it never worked out for them. Wait a minute. So what are you putting your faith in other people's experience? Or is your faith still in the Word of God? I can't tell you why it didn't work out for so-and-so. But I can tell you this, if it didn't work out for so-and-so, then there's some kind of disconnect between them and the Word. Because the Word of God is faithful. The Word of God will work. Now, I'm not criticizing people for it not working out for them. I can't explain why it didn't work out for them. But I can tell you this, God's Word is faithful. God is faithful to His Word. He says, He is faithful who promised. Hallelujah. So when you need something from God, what is the best thing you can do? You go to the Word and find where God's Word, there's a promise in there that says you can have it. You need healing? Go to the Word. Look at all the many verses where it talks about how he is a healer. You will never find one where God put sickness on anybody. But you will find a plenty of them, a plethora of scriptures that where God promises that he would heal you. Yep. Amen? So let's stand on what God said he would do. If you need finances, go through the scriptures. Find where he says, I will supply all. I'll help you out. Philippians 4:19. There you go. Bible says, but my God, Paul said, but my God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means God is not limited to this world's economic system. God can get it to you in ways that your little pea brain mind cannot even imagine. Hallelujah. And compared to God, we all have pea brain minds. I mean, it's like, compared to God, we're like Ned in the first reader. See spot run, right? Come on, hallelujah. God is so smart. But he says this, he says, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to go to that verse here in a little bit. All right. But look at this. He says, in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction, engendered by faith, by that leaning. What does it mean to be engendered by faith? It means to lean our entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what happened with so-and-so. It doesn't matter even early in your life. Well, I tried standing in faith, but it didn't work. I remember when I was back in Pendleton, and I was standing in faith for our home, and we lost it. And it rocked me and Heather. We're like, wait a minute, we were standing in faith. But then we realized, as the Lord began to deal with us and show us, we weren't really standing in faith at all. We were standing in assumption. We just assumed, oh, well, we're Christian people. God would never allow us to lose our home. We weren't standing in faith. We weren't doing the things that faith does. Right? We were in assumption. We just assumed that God wouldn't let that happen. Instead of standing up and saying, hey, you know what? You lying devil, get your hands off my property. You're not taking my home. Right. We were not truly standing in faith. We weren't. How do I know that? Because we were always nervous about it. Yeah. We were always nervous about it. Always, what is nervous? I'm scared. I'm afraid. We were in constant fear that, oh man, I hope this, really we were thinking, man, I hope this works out. You ever been there? Oh man, I hope this faith stuff works. No, you don't hope faith stuff works. You gotta meditate on it until you get the knowing. You get that knowing that, no, there's no, I hope so. There's no, I think it will. There is just a like, no, God's got this. God's got this. I mean, there is no nervousness about it. There's a lot, no, God's got this. But what do you got to do? Where am I going? Jeremiah 1:8? I think I got it right. Anyway, it says this. He said, Joshua. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Joshua 1:8 says this, to meditate day and night upon the scriptures, that you may observe them and to do all that is written in them. A lot of people don't like that part, the do. That you meditate upon them, that you may observe them and to do all that is written in them. Then your way will be made prosperous. Then you will have good success. We want to just pray and God do something. Remember what I talked about earlier, the covenant we have? God has a part. And we have a part. God will do his part as we stand in faith. And we learn, we get that on the inside of us, and we begin to declare the word of God out of our spirit, not just out of our head. Well, pastor said that scripture, so I'm going to try and use that scripture. You better start meditating on that scripture until it becomes part of your inner self, till it's part of your automatic mechanism, right? Then you're speaking out of confidence, not, well, it's in the Bible, so I'm going to speak it, and hopefully it'll work out. No, when it becomes revelation knowledge, you don't go around thinking, I hope it works out. Revelation knowledge puts you in that realm where you're like, oh, God's got this. That's why Peter was able to go asleep in the boat while there was a storm going on. He wasn't concerned. Why? He told him, he said, let's go to the other side. He goes asleep. Why? Because he knew that there was enough power in the command to go to the other side to get him there, no matter what storm came up. So that's why he gets up. He wakes up. Master, master, don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to drown here. We're going to die. Don't you even care? He says, oh, ye of little faith. And he spoke to the storm and commanded it to cease. That same mega storm that arose, there was a mega calm that came in. Because Jesus knew who he was. It was something that he knew on the inside, not just a, I hope this works. So we got to meditate. We got to get back to that focusing on the meditating on the Word of God. Because as we meditate on his Word, it becomes real to us. And when it becomes real to us, now we're not speaking out of wishfulness. We're speaking out of confidence. This is the confidence that I have in him. Amen. That if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know, hear that word? No. I know that I will receive the things that I've asked of him. That's faith. Hallelujah. That there's no better way to live than to live by true faith. All right. Isaiah, I'm not going to have you turn there, but you know, Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report will you believe? See, we have options, don't we? How many like options? Like to have options? How many like going to the restaurant? You have options. Right? We all like options. Well, here's an option for you. You can either choose to believe the report of the Lord, or you can either choose to believe the report of the doctor. You can choose to believe the report of the Lord, or you can choose to believe the report of the economy. Right? We have a choice. We can choose, but we get to choose. This is the day the Lord hath made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in him. Amen. You could choose to not rejoice. Right? You could choose to be depressed. You could choose to just let everything that the world's telling you be what you are led by. But the Bible says that we are to choose to believe the report of the Lord. Paul could have chosen to look at the storm. He could have chosen to look at the waves. He could have chosen at the fact that all their food and everything else is being thrown overboard just so they can live. He could have chosen to look at all the circumstances. But what did he do? What all of us should do? The Bible says he went and what? Prayed. We all should do that, right? Don't make prayer your last resort. You know, like one guy says, oh, man. And I had to go pray about this one. And the other guy says, oh, has it come down to that? Has it come down to where you got to pray? Oh, it must be really bad if it comes down to where you got to pray. No, let that be your first resort. Something comes up, Father, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to handle this? Right? Walk in love, walk by faith, and be led by the Spirit of God. How do you want me to handle this, Lord? Okay. All right, we'll do that. And trust God when you trust God as you're doing what he tells you to do. Amen? All right. I believe God that it will be even as the Lord told me. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We just quoted a verse out of 53, but let's look at chapter 55 and let's look at some verses here. All right. So verse 11 says, it is the same with my word. I send it out. And it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send. Are you listening to these words from the Lord? Well, let's just back up to verse 10. The rain and the snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground and water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. All right, so now he's given you a natural illustration that he's fixing to give you a spiritual meaning to. All right? So the rain and the snow, how many know the rain and snow come down from the heavens? We all know that, right? All right? And then he says, and they stay on the ground and water the earth. We understand that, right? If you want to grow grass or you want to grow anything, you know, you plant it and then you depend on the rain to come and water it, right? And what do? They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. See, we live in a kingdom that functions and operates from seed time and harvest. We live in it. Remember we read over in Mark chapter 4? He says, this is how it works. And in that, with that parable, he said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of the parables? Why? Because this parable shows you this is how the kingdom of God works. You can't get anything in the kingdom of God without sowing something and reaping something. That is the way of the kingdom. Right? All right. So he says, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Don't you like that word always? I love that word always. What, isn't it good to know? Now we're talking about getting in faith with some things, aren't we? We're talking about having a confidence about things. He said, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always accomplishes what I want it to. What if we begin to send out his word? Come on. We're sowing that seed. We're putting those word seeds out there. We're sowing that seed. We're believing God to do something, rather it be in the marriage or in with your kids or with your business or to get a job or even if it's in your finances or your health or whatever. We're speaking forth. We're sowing those seeds. Amen? Amen. As we sow those seeds, I love that he says, I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Hallelujah. And then the next statement says, you will live in joy and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking about relentless faith. Relentless faith. In other words, we set our face like flint. We say, no, I believe God, and there ain't nothing knocking me off of what I believe. I believe God's word said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. This is how we get things done. And this is how you get the victory in every area of your life. It doesn't matter what the area is. All we know is if we speak the word of God over it, it will come back to us. It will always accomplish what we sent the word to do. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So he says here, let's go up to verse 8, though. That is wonderful that happens. But that is not, 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11 are not going to happen if we don't understand verses 8 and 9. And verse 8 and 9 says this. My thoughts, this is God speaking, he says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Right? For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So, what is that telling us? God's not going, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Nah, 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 nah. You will never be able to think like I do. That's not what God's saying. He's inviting you to think like he thinks because he wants you to have the results that he gets. But we've got to get our thinking straightened out because what you believe comes out of the way you think. Right? What you say comes out of what you believe, and what you believe comes out of the way you think. So we've got to start thinking God's way. We got to get rid of the low, small, insignificant mentalities. I don't look at this building and go, wow, this is as good as we get. No, God's got a bigger, better building. He's got a bigger, better church than what we even have right now. Now, don't misunderstand me. To me, this is not about, I've got to get at least 500 members so I can match up with other pastors. I could care less about that. It's not about that. It's about winning people for Jesus and mentoring people and helping people to become all that God's called them to be. In other words, we got a war to win, right? And as Christians, we are not just entering the family of God. We are entering the army of God. And we've got some stuff to get done, and I'm tired of seeing people being manipulated by the enemy. It's time to get people up in here, get them discipled, help them to grow up in Christ, be the soldiers they're supposed to be, so we can wreak havoc on the devil in Albany, Oregon. Amen. So we got to think bigger. We got to think bigger with your business. Think better for your family. Come on, let's let go. Hey, I don't care what the devil's trying to mess with my kids. They can do better. God can help them to accomplish whatever he wants them to accomplish. Our marriage, my marriage, it can be better than this. I know we argue 3 out of 7 days of the week or maybe more, but it can be better. Amen. I'm telling you, 30-something years of marriage, and me and Heather hardly ever argue. And we never fight. I'll say it again. We hardly ever argue. And when I say argue, it's more like disagree. And even if we do come up on a disagreement, it's like, well, okay, well, you choose to think that way, but we can just agree to disagree. But we don't have to. We don't fight about it. We don't get embittered over it. We don't let that mess up our day. We don't let that mess up our relationship. Why can't I just can't be in the car with you anymore? No, you don't have to be that way. It can be better. Marriage is amazing for those who think it's not. It is amazing. It can be wonderful. Just got to do it God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. It's kind of weak there, but that's all right. I sowed some seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What helps us to do that? By thinking the way God thinks. By thinking the way God thinks. You can have victory in every area of your life by thinking the way God thinks. And God is inviting us to think the way he thinks. And then he goes on to tell us how he thinks. He begins to send out seeds. He begins to sow the word. He begins to speak forth the word of God. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'll start wrapping this up. Oh, I got to wrap it up like in a hurry because I'm over time. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, now we're talking about God's thoughts, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to read that out of the New King James. I'm going to read the first two verses out of the New Living, then we'll switch to the King James. Watch this. It says, we are human, but we don't wage war in humans as humans do. Right? We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down, watch this, the strongholds of human reasoning. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the way this world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove to the world what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We've got to change the way we think. We've got to start thinking like God. Amen? How many know God don't think with hatred? God don't think with bitterness. God don't think with hopelessness. God don't think with depressive thoughts. Amen? Hallelujah. God helps us to overcome every obstacle, right? So he says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy the false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts. Okay, now let's move over to verse 5, New King James. I love it the way it says this. Casting down arguments and every high thing. That word, every high thing, means strong ways of thinking. Right? Casting down. Wait a minute. He didn't say nothing about God casting down, did he? Well, maybe Jesus is supposed to do the casting down. What about the Holy Spirit? Maybe he'll do the casting down. No, he says, talking about us, he says that we are to cast down the arguments and every high thing, the strong ways of thinking that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How many know if you're fighting in your relationship, you are not doing it God's way. You've engaged yourself in a battle that is trying to fight it out the way the world fights it out. I have got to prove them wrong. I have got to show them that I'm right. You don't have to prove them wrong. You don't have to show them that you're right. Because if you're engaged in a battle, in a fight, in a relationship, then you're both wrong. Boy, that got a whole lot of amens right there. Hallelujah. Why? Because if we're not doing it God's way, we're doing it wrong. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, so then he says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're bringing every thought. Every thought. If that thought has any fear in it, no, I'm bringing that thought into the captivity of to the obedience of Christ. Because Jesus don't want you in fear. Any. Zero. None. Well, you know, Pastor, that's... You know, it's good for everybody to have a little bit. It's healthy to have a little bit of fear. Where? Where in the book does it say that? No, Jesus says, don't be afraid, neither let your heart be troubled. He didn't go, well, except when, you know, don't be 99% afraid. He said, don't be afraid. It is not healthy to have fear. Now, it is healthy to have a healthy respect for what things can do to you. I don't step out in front of an 18-wheel truck flying down the road because I have a healthy respect of what it would do to me if I do. But I don't stand on the sidewalk going, oh, there's a truck, there's a truck. Oh, they're in a fast car. I don't do all that. Why? Because I'm not afraid of it. I have a healthy respect for it. I have a very healthy respect for snakes. Right? I have a healthy respect for spiders. Right? I'm not afraid of them. I get close enough to kill them. But I'm not afraid of them. You know, several years ago, there was a show called The Fear Factor. No, that was, they titled it wrong. It was The Stupid Factor. They did things that, no, you just got to be dumb to do that. It's not, I don't have to overcome a fear of laying in a glass case with hundreds of tarantulas crawling over my body. That is not fear. That is wisdom to not lay in a bed with poisonous snakes, and it has nothing to do with fear. You can have a healthy respect for things without being in fear. Jesus does not want us being in fear. And if you are living with fear, there's no way you will ever be able to live with relentless faith. That's why we're talking about these things. I want you living in, with relentless faith in your relationships, and with your kids, with your husband, with your wife, with your family. I want you living with relentless faith in your finances, in your business, in your dealings, whatever it is you go to do. No, we're going to do this with relentless faith. Hey, I've heard from God. God told me to do this. That's what I'm going to do. Glory to God, and he's going to come through for me. Just make sure you hear from God. Amen. Not your emotions. Don't be led by your emotions. Now, don't get me wrong. Emotions, God gave us emotions for a reason, but he didn't give us emotions to be led by. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Because your emotions will tell you all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff. Right? But he wants us to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay. All right. Where am I at? Two verses and I'm done. Okay. I'm just going to quote them to you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you guys know what I do with this verse. Faith comes by hearing. It's a present tense action verb. That means faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's what present tense action is. It's something that is always happening. So faith comes by always hearing the word of God. So we got to keep that. And in this day and age, think about it. We have no reason. We are completely out of excuses, right, of not being able to hear the word, right? We have Bibles. YouTube is loaded with some goofy stuff, but also some really good. You can get Kenneth Hagin on YouTube. You can get Jerry Savelle on YouTube. You can get Kenneth Copeland on YouTube. You can get all the good faith teaching, Bible believing ministers. You can get them all on there. I listen to people like that all the time. I was listening to Jerry Savelle on the way here, teaching. To me, it didn't really matter what I was listening to. I just wanted to. I like hearing the word all the time. I like putting on good praise and worship to keep myself encouraged and strengthened all the time. Amen. So we don't really have an excuse for not hearing. Okay, let's look at one last verse, and then we're done. We're going to go back to where we started. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, but I'm going to read it in the Message translation. All right? Hebrews 10:23, Message translation. He said, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. Hallelujah. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. That's a good reason to hold on to the promises. Because it's not you that are making the promises come to pass. It's God. He will keep his word. He will do what he said. We just got to make that decision that we of which we do not draw back. We do not give up. We do not quit. We make that decision. No, I believe God. God's word said he would do it. He's going to do it. He said he would heal my body. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. And watch this. I'm not going to speak anything else contrary to what God's word said about it. That's where a lot of people get in trouble. They leave a service like this and they start declaring the word. And then, you know, their body starts acting up or something happens. In other words, they start facing circumstances that seems to be contradictory to what they just heard. And before the long, they start listening to their feelings, listening to their emotions about it, listening to what their mind's trying to tell them about it, and saying, "Go, no, 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 no. God's word said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. Paul said, I believe God that it will be just as he told me. I believe God." And that's when the enemy comes against you with a doubt or a fear, that's what you need to say. No, you lying devil. No, I believe God that it will be just what he told me. Problem is, we got to get in there and find out what he told us. Amen. That's why reading the word is so important. Got to get in there and find out what it says and say, I believe God. Nope, I believe God. Glory to God. You do that long enough and it becomes automatic. It's like the devil comes up with a negative thought, with a fearful thought. Nope, I don't believe that at all. I doubt my doubts and feed my faith. Hallelujah. I doubt. Just tell the devil, nope, I doubt it. Use his own weapon against him. I doubt it. Well, I'm going to do this to you. I doubt it. I doubt it. No, don't believe it for a second. God's word told me he's going to take care of me. God told me he's going to keep me safe. God told me he's going to help me sleep. God told me my sleep will be peaceful and I will be safe. God's good. He's faithful. I believe God. I believe God in Jesus' name. Amen. Get up on your feet. Hallelujah. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Glory to God. Relentless faith, man. We're going after this, man. Glory to God. Because if we can get a hold of this, there's nothing the devil can do to stop us. There is nothing the devil can do to stop us. Let me try that one more time. There is nothing the devil can do to stop us. Come on, hallelujah. That's enough. That's worth jumping over, shouting over, doing cartwheels over. Glory to God. He is faithful who promised. And he is our God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus.